So I had so much fun doing my 2-year update that I decided to come back and talk some more. But today we are going to be talking about what it's like to date in 2022. You know, I was in my relationship for probably a good 10 years, and I never thought that I would be in a situation where I'd be dating again. And I always said that if I ever was single again, that I would be a hoe. And that just is not what's happening. Like, I have the opportunity to do all this hoey stuff, but I haven't done it yet. And I think there's some kind of reason behind that. But I just wanted to spend some more time with you and talk about what it's like to do gay dating in the 21st century, because it is quite an adventure, and I hope that you enjoy. So welcome back. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. Pay attention to the road and just let my voice enter your mind and entertain you for the next half hour or so as we dive into how dating is in 2022. Parenthesis as a gay man. End parenthesis. So this isn't part of my notes, but as I was getting ready to record this, I wanted to discuss how things started for me when it came to interacting with fellow homosexuals back in the early 2000s, before all of these apps came out that we're going to talk about today. My first experience speaking to other gay people came in the form of Yahoo chat rooms back in the day. And let me tell you, I made some of the coolest friends in those rooms, but you also came into contact with a bunch of creepers and a bunch of people that were regulars in the rooms that kind of were the big queens on top and the drama and it was crazy. But yeah, that's where things started in those chat rooms. I met my ex, well, my now ex, in 2011, and we met on a website called gay.com. And that was the extent of my online, profiles at that time. Because I think by that time, well, you know what? Yahoo Messenger was still a thing in 2011, because I think we chatted on Yahoo after we met on gay.com, and that's how we ended up coming into contact with each other. But anyway, we were together for 10 years, and in that time we had the rise of like Grindr and Tinder and Bumble and all these other things. And I really didn't pay much attention to them because, of course, I didn't need them. So I didn't know what swiping right or left meant. So when my relationship ended, I really felt that dating had changed a lot while I was off the market. Now there are so many other ways to be rejected by gay men. And obviously, of course, people who are rejecting you are not worth your time. You shouldn't waste your energy on them. That's the life lesson of this week's episode. Okay, don't waste your time on people that aren't worth your time. But for the, for sake of conversation, that's how I was going to do it. I also feel like, how people have a certain type of person that they go for. In my early gay-bee days, is what I call myself as a young, naive gay. I always had this vision of what my perfect partner would be. And then I ended up with my ex for 10 years. And he was not the, I guess, physical embodiment that I thought I would end up with. Not saying that he was grotesque and disgusting, but I was attracted to it. So, like, looking at him and looking at what I was attracted to before that and all my experience, it was interesting to see. So I don't know if, I don't know, I became less picky or more desperate after being in a relationship for 10 years. So I tend to go for different types of people now, instead of gravitating towards certain types. So let's talk about some of these apps, because I'm sure a lot of people have heard about Grindr or Tinder or even Hinge or Scruff or Growler or Bumble or any of those dating apps. So Grindr, we all know about, because I don't know any gay man alive who doesn't know about Grindr. Grindr is basically an app where you open it and it shows the closest people with the Grindr app around you, and you could see their distance from you. So it comes down to like feet away. Like, I think I've been within 10 feet of somebody before. That's how close it is, which is funny to think about when you're in an event like Pride, for example, where you could open the app and everyone's like 2 feet away from you, and it's a wonder the app hasn't completely exploded and destroyed everything. But anyway, a lot of people use the apps for hookups, obviously, and that could be Tinder. Any of the dating apps, I think, could be used as hookups, because I have encountered many people across all these platforms where the conversation would start and then it would immediately go to, you know, wanting to exchange R-rated pictures or whatever. I'm not going to judge anyone for their life decisions. We have all been there. I am not going to sit here and tell you that I've never sent an inappropriate picture to somebody, because that would be a lie, and I don't like to do that. I'm keeping it real, okay? So don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me. So anyway, when it comes to meeting people from these apps, there are a lot of people that will be like, hey, I want you at my house right now. I've gotten messages from people that all they would say was, here's my address, the door is unlocked, I'm ready. And I'm thinking to myself, well, no thank you. I think it's because I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and I watch a lot of true crime shows. And it's funny to me, because when people send messages like that, I'm like, do you not realize that I have seen many a show and listened to many a podcast where the story began just like this, and they show up to this stranger's apartment and get murdered and splattered blood all over the place? I mean, I am currently watching the Dahmer series starring one and only Mr. Evan Peters, and it's crazy. But I don't want to get too off topic here about that. But anyway... So I'm not one of those people that will meet after a first chat. I'm very, I like to chat at least for a few weeks before I even start really thinking about meeting people. It's funny, because I've noticed that, and this may be TMI, it may not be, but when hormones are flowing and you get in the mood, you will think that you are ready to do things, but normally you're rational brain will still pull you back from that ledge. Thank goodness. But anyway, I've only managed to meet, let's see, in my notes here, I have 3 people that I have ended up meeting off of these apps. One was from Tinder and 2 were from Grindr. And it wasn't even like, hey, we're going to meet up and bang and then never speak to each other again. These 3 were strictly platonic meetups. And I think that's why it was able to happen, because I didn't have the pressure of hooking up or the nerves of that. And I'm still super good friends with all 3 of those people. So, I mean, it's nice to be able to find platonic friendships, because who doesn't want more gay friends in their lives? Just because you're gay doesn't mean I want to get up in your crevices, or, you know, vice versa. And that's okay. It really is okay. So it is possible to find friends in this way as well. And I've certainly learned that. But you also can have those meetups where it is meeting up for banging and you never speak to each other again or whatever. If that's your prerogative, you do it. Some guys end up finding their husbands on these apps. It's entirely up to how you want to use them. And I don't judge. You do whatever you feel is safe. And if you need me to come pick you up, give me a ring and I will come and save you from a dangerous situation. But you can also find some really sketchy people. For example, in my area where I live, it's a very conservative area. So I don't expect to ever see anything, crazy up my alley here. And not every gay person has these apps. So you might not even know, all the gay people in the area, because they're not all going to be on the app. But anyway, you have like these closeted married men, you have guys selling drugs, you have guys offering, quote, massages. You have straight couples looking for a third guy to, hang out with and have threesomes with. And a lot of these profiles don't have pictures. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves, because when I see a profile without a picture, my first thought is, one, they're probably straight and married. Two, they're like 800 years old and straight and married and closeted. And three, they're probably going to axe murder me. So I typically will ask for a picture when I'm speaking to somebody, because one, it's just nice to have a face to speak to. And I might point out here that sometimes when you ask for a picture, in your mind, you're like, I'm just asking for a face pic, whatever. You will get weird pictures of like buttholes and genitals and genitals in buttholes. And I don't know. For example, one time, I woke up to like 13 notifications from Grindr, and 12 of those, these were all from the same person. 12 of those notifications were different shots of different angles of somebody's butthole. And the 13th notification underneath all 12 of those pictures was the word hello. And I couldn't help but laugh, and I didn't respond, because it's like, that's real charming. And if that's what they're going to use the app for, again, I'm not going to judge, but don't do it with me, because this is not going to work. It's ridiculous. And then one guy started messaging me, and I didn't answer because I wasn't interested, of course. And he kept sending message after message after message. And finally, he got the hint that I wasn't going to talk to him. And he says to me, just say you're afraid of the big black dick. Of course, I still didn't answer, but I thought it was hilarious, because it's like, you know what? Whatever you need to make yourself feel good about me not answering, that is totally fine. But it's best to trust your gut when you encounter these people. I'm not one for spur-of-the-moment meetups anyway, so it's not like I would have jumped at the chance to, experience these people. I make myself too nervous anyway, so I steer clear about them. So I won't meet someone typically without talking to them for a while, because I watch all those crime shows, and I have these reservations about weird people. But you do you, people have needs. Currently I feel the need to meet new people, go out on some dates, and really just, try to experience dating again, because it's such a change when you've been with someone for so long. And anyone who's been in a long-term relationship, and finds themselves suddenly back out in the dating world can agree with this. It's the beginning part of dating is always it's fun, but it's also very stressful because you have all these questions about the direction of things and, you know, and I don't know because I haven't really entered that atmosphere since being in this relationship. And I don't know if it's something that happens every time you get into a relationship, like the uncertainty and the nerves and the anxiety I could do without. Like sometimes I feel like Liz Lemon, where she wants to just jump into a relationship 12 years down the road where you don't have to try anymore. And I mean, that's appealing. But on the other hand, I also feel like it makes it exciting, I guess. I don't know. I guess I am comparing all of my future relationships based on what my experience was with my ex. And that's not completely fair to myself. And it's not completely fair to people that are showing interest in me. So I'm trying to take it step by step. I'm trying to keep my negative anxiety voice to a minimum because he gets real loud sometimes. I'm single and I'm ready to mingle. And I can preach about going out there and getting yours because life is short, etc. But I really need to follow my own advice because that's one of my biggest things is I can give advice all day long. Because it's really easy to tell people how to deal with their problems because they're not yours. And you can make that decision for them. But when it comes to me taking my own advice, it doesn't really work as well. So I feel like also now that I'm doing this like audio diary thing, I feel like I need to start practicing what I preach because people are going to like look at me and call me a hypocrite because I'm telling you to do all these things and be fearless and go after whatever. And then I'm not going to do it because I'm too much of a baby. But so I'm really trying. I actually have plans to have dinner with somebody. I believe Saturday. So that'll be fun. And I will definitely update if anything fun comes of that, or I could be meeting my future husband. I don't know. I mean, I'm still waiting for Chris Evans to, you know, realize I exist. But until that day comes, I have to deal with dating people here in the real world because, you know, it's so much easier in your imagination. But yeah, you have Grindr, you have Growler, which is Grindr, but for like bigger, burly, hairy bear men, is what we call them, bears. And like, I might have to do an episode about explaining gay vernacular because in the last few years, probably the last 10 years or so, I've been learning a lot about the community. So maybe I could educate people about that. But there's Growler. There is Scruff, which is like Grindr. It's very similar to Grindr. And then there's Hinge, which their ads are always like, this is the app that's designed to be deleted or whatever. And a lot of these apps really get anything out of them. You have to pay money. And like, who has time for that? So I have most of these apps purely for entertainment purposes. Because if I get bored, I'll sit there and swipe through Tinder. Actually, I got rid of Tinder. So I don't use Tinder anymore. Scratch that. I do use Grindr for entertainment. I use Growler for entertainment. I use Hinge for entertainment, just to see what kind of guys are out there. And if someone shows interest, I'll have a chat with them and see how it goes. It's funny living in this conservative area because the same people are on the apps all the time. And since we're in a very major, like, trucking travel route, sometimes you'll get random truckers in there that'll be, like, trolling for some booty or whatever. But my favorite thing to do with these apps is because I travel for my job sometimes, and it's fun to go to a new place and open up the app and see what's going on. Because when I first got Grindr back after my breakup, we had gone to the beach. My aunt and I and my sister and the family or whatever went to the beach. And while I was at the beach, I got the apps again just to see what was going on. And it's always fun to go to new places and see new faces and talk to, you know, locals or whatever and get attention, because it's always fun when someone messages you first. It's always fun. But anyway, when I got back home, I had forgotten that I still had the app. And the locals here, anytime there's a new face that pops into the screen, because of how bland it is around here, Grindr-wise, people pounce. People pounce. They were messaging me. They were, like, tapping me. They were sending me, like, googly eyes and whatever. And now it's like, nobody here talks to me because I guess I'm old news. But anytime you update your pictures too, that can happen. And it's fun. But, like, I don't know. Dating is just, it is what it is. It really is. And it's fun. Like, I'm enjoying myself. I think I need to get out and enjoy myself more. Like, allow myself to take the walls down and have some fun if the opportunity, you know, presents itself. I was a late bloomer as a gay. I didn't start dating until I was 19. Or no, wait. That was 21. Yeah, it was when I moved back from Germany. Yeah, I didn't start dating till I was in my 20s. And then I fell into that relationship at 24. So, like, I feel like I didn't have that hoe phase or whatever. So, not that I want to go out there and be a hoe. But I don't think that I'm ready right now for a relationship. And I guess when I meet that person, I'll know that. It's just hard to tell on this side of it. And, you know, maybe the universe is sending me someone and I have to be open to the experience. So that's part of me, like, pushing myself to meet people and go out with people and make friends and see what happens. Because, you know, I have a lot of life left to live, and I know that there's somebody out there that I'm supposed to be with. And I guess until I find that person, I am allowing myself to experience things. Now, I can sit here and say that, but as soon as I finish this episode, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to do that. But, like, I'm trying to be better, okay? This part of this is, like, holding myself accountable. So, like, I'm trying to be better. Okay, so just bear with me. Don't judge me. Actually, you can judge me all you want. But this is my show. So. But, yeah, like, dating. I used to be more cynical about it, like, right after the breakup. I was like, I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. I don't have time for men. I don't need no man. But, like, I miss cuddles. I miss, like, anniversaries. I miss Valentine's Day. I miss, like, cute birthday presents. I miss cute Christmas presents. I miss date nights. I miss all these things. And I'm not going to get that if I say no to every offer that I get. Because I've had offers and I've said no because of no reason in particular at all. So, gosh, I feel like even if someone isn't really, like, making an impression, maybe I should say yes to a date just for the practice. I don't know. Now I'm thinking all this stuff out loud because I've gone through my notes and I'm just pretty much babbling at this point. But I hope that this was informative. I mean, when I was sitting writing this episode, it was more of a mind dump than anything. And when people ask me about what my podcast is about, because, you know, a lot of people have specific things they do with their podcasts, and I really don't. It's more of an audio diary for me, and it feels really good to talk, just sitting in my room, talking into a microphone and picking a topic every week and writing about it and putting it out there for the world. And I hope this speaks to someone. And if you guys have stories, please, by all means, let me hear them. And I will read them on the show if you'd like. But yeah, so I guess that's the topic for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope that you're having a wonderful day wherever you are. And thank you so much for spending this time with me. and I can't wait to bring more material. I'm actually, this is my second episode I'm recording this week. So the one I recorded yesterday is premiering tonight at midnight, and then this one will premiere next Friday, which I believe is the 28th of October, 2022. Ridiculous that we're already in 2022 and it's almost the end of it. But thanks again for hanging out with me, you guys, and I hope to entertain you more in the future. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out today. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at jaygreer@yahoo.com. You can find me on Instagram at thefamousj87. On Snapchat, I am at gymfreak, which is G-Y-M-N-F-R-E-A-K, and the same on Twitter. So reach out if you have any feedback whatsoever, and I hope to see you again next time.